Franciscan saint of the day, the servant of God, Caesar of Spire, confessor, first order. Caesar was born in Spire on the Rhine and had already been ordained a priest when he entered the order of Friars Minor. A sermon of Brother Elias that he had once heard made such an impression on him that he joined the order. When he came to Assisi to the Holy Father Francis, he felt strongly attracted to him because he beheld him so full of love for meditation and for holy poverty. Our seraphic father, on the other hand, held his new disciple in great esteem, not only because of his extraordinary talent and his ability for the task of preaching, but especially because of his exemplary efforts to observe the rule of the order, even in the smallest details. Full of holy joy, he once said to him, "Thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, and all the promises that Christ has given me will be fulfilled in you, and in all those who will observe our holy rule to the letter and with holy readiness." When the general chapter of the order was held at the Portiuncula in 1221, St. Francis expressed his intention of again sending brethren into Germany, where on two previous occasions the undertaking had proved unsuccessful. The brethren did not understand the German language and had met with such ill treatment that the mere name of Germany struck terror into their hearts. But the Holy Founder, who applied to himself the words of the Lord to his apostles, "Teach all nations," and who had often been edified by the Germans who had come as pilgrims to the holy places in Italy, encouraged the brethren anew to volunteer for the German missions, which he could now place in charge of the German Caesar. 90 of the brethren volunteered, prepared to suffer all for the name of Christ. At the command of St. Francis, Caesar chose 25 of this number, 12 priests and 13 lay brothers, with whom he set out after being fortified with the blessing of their seraphic father. In Trent, they were graciously received by the bishop. Amid great hardships, they then crossed the Alps. Nevertheless, in October 1221, they arrived safely at Augsburg. From here, Caesar sent his brethren into the various parts of Germany. John of Piano di Carpine and Barnabas the German went to Würzburg, Spire, Worms, and as far down the Rhine as Cologne. Others were sent to Salzburg, others to Saxony, where the first convents of the Saxon province, which still exists, were soon founded at Magdeburg and Halberstadt. In the year 1222, so many convents had been founded and so many novices from Germany had been received that Caesar, as first provincial of Germany, held a chapter at Worms for the purpose of organizing the individual convents and the brethren. After this had been accomplished, he ardently desired to return to Italy to his Holy Father Francis. He appointed Thomas of Celano as his vicar, and then set out again across the Alps for Assisi, where he appeared in 1223 at the Pentecost chapter to report about his mission. At his earnest request, he was now released from his obligations as provincial and remained in Italy, where he lived for many years after the death of St. Francis as the head and support of the true observers of the Holy Rule. He died in the odor of sanctity in 1239. On fidelity in little things. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is greater. Luke 16:10. These words of Jesus Christ we see verified in his servant Caesar. He observed his rule so faithfully, even in the smallest points, that he merited the special praise of St. Francis. In consequence, when he was commissioned with the great responsibility of the mission to Germany, he proved himself loyal and executed his charge successfully. Fidelity in little things will also be very profitable to us, since the little things occur daily, such as opportunities to practice patience, charity towards our neighbor, and they provide us with the occasions of doing good, the essence of virtue. The little things also enable us to gain merit which, when daily accumulated, becomes great. In this way, it is necessary to win the heavenly reward, as the judge himself will one day say, "Because you have been faithful over a few things, I will place you over many things." Matthew 25:21. Have you hitherto valued the little things according to their true merit? Consider how many a person, while committing transgressions and sins, disregards trifles as though they were of little consequence. "Oh, those are but trifles," one says lightly. The Holy Spirit speaks otherwise. "He who contemns small things shall fall by little and little." Ecclesiasticus 19:1. Is not that a daily experience? If distracting thoughts are not warded off, evil thoughts will soon follow. He who makes light of useless conversations soon indulges in frivolous and uncharitable ones. He who does not avoid venial sins will soon fall into mortal sins. Temptation becomes stronger, man becomes weaker, and like a building whose many small defects are disregarded, he falls as soon as a violent storm arises. Therefore, if you love your soul, guard yourself against minimizing small faults. Consider that the Holy Ghost does not say, "He who commits small transgressions will fall," but "He who contemns them." Therefore, do not lose courage if you still frequently fail in small matters, and perhaps relapse into the same faults despite good resolutions. At any rate, do not desist from chastising yourself for them and practicing the good deeds that are opposed to these failings. "Strive manfully," says Thomas A. Kempis. "Habit is overcome by habit." Almighty God will look graciously upon your faithful efforts, and His all-powerful grace will assist you. Prayer of the Church. Almighty and eternal God, graciously look upon our weakness, and stretch forth the right hand of Thy majesty for our protection. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.